today on Living on Every Word.
Do not call to mind the former things, or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. God, when are you going to do something new? Now it will spring forth. This is the fresh newness of God, that no matter where I am in this life, physically or emotionally, God makes a way. It's a new way.
Ever find yourself in a place where you needed a fresh start, a new beginning? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares how God comes to make all things new in your life. In part two of the sermon series, This Is Your Life.
Living on Every Word.
And you're making all things new.
That all things includes you. Those all things include you. It includes me. It includes our church. It includes our families. To wake up to that certainty, that is something that we can be certain of, that when we gave our lives to Christ, God began something. And as we walk with Him, and as we walk through life, and sometimes as we walk away from Him, or we become distant to Him, or we start doing things our own way, God's word never, ever changes. He is always making something new. And He will use the very things in your life that the enemy has meant for evil. Your failures, the hardships, the trials, the struggles. We have a God who says, if you're in Christ, you are a new creature, a new creation. And God is such a great artist, such a great composer, such a great creative God, that He is able to take the very things that we think are hard, and they are hard, the very things that we perceive as something that might destroy us or could destroy us, He takes those very, very things and He uses them for His glory to shape you into the newness that you and I are becoming. All things new. If you look at our passage that we started last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would turn there with me and understand that these are promises, but these are not only promises, they're things that God has said, I've already done in your life. And the question that we want to ask is, God, am I walking and believing in agreement with what you've said? No matter what's taking place, that we live new life, the newness of life. The newness of life is not just when you were 8 and you came to Christ. No, it's now, because He's making all things new today in your life, in my life. And God wants to use these very things. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want you to see our passage. The first thing that He says in this passage is, therefore, from now, verse 16, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, they're passed away, period. All things have been and are becoming and will continue to become new. That's what it says in the original language. The old things, they're done away with. They've passed away. Listen, the new things, that's the change. That's the transformation. And the Bible says, if you are in Christ, that's what you are. You are a new creation in Christ. Walk that. Believe that. Speak that. Live that. Share that in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? It means to be born again. It means to belong to Christ. It means that you're living in the sphere of his power and his strength and his life and his plan. It means that we are united with Christ, that we are a part of the body of Christ. We are in Christ. And what I love and what we love about that is that this whole thought, it's not just me, it's us. It's the church of the living God. With all of our gifts and with all of our talents, so that we are spurring one another on to love and to good deeds. And the old things, well, they've passed away. All those things of our lives, the old life, it's done. It's finished. It's been in the grave. And just as we saw last week, my old self, it died. It is dead. And I'm a new man in Christ. And you are a new church in Christ. And I get to walk this out. Now, you know what's interesting about this whole passage of Scripture, when he talks about how you look back at Israel's history and you see the crossing of the Red Sea and they pass through the waters. We'll see this in just a minute. Matter of fact, go on and turn there. It's in Isaiah 43. And this is the context of God doing something new. I mean, when you think about the children of Israel, a million plus passing through the sea with parted waters, that's a great thing, isn't it? Well, you know what he's saying? That's passed away. That's done. Something greater is here than parting the Red Sea thousands of years ago. Something greater is here. You'll notice also in this passage of Scripture, if we were to read it and we don't have time, is that he talks about God delivering them from Babylon and bringing them back into the Promised Land. Two important events in the life of Israel. When the sea is parted and the Egyptian armies are drowned and then going back to Israel. And what this passage is saying, listen, yeah, that's happened, but something new is here. Some of us in this place will look at our lives in the past and we'll dwell on the past failures, the past junk, the past stuff, and we get defined by that. And then others of us, we look back to the, quote, the good old days. Those days when it was great and when it was wonderful. The honeymoon stage of our marriage, the honeymoon stage of church life, the honeymoon stage of the Christian life. And he says, listen, that's all passed away. There's something greater than the honeymoon. There's something greater for our lives in this moment. And that's what he says in this passage. This prophetic word that not only looks to the past, but it looks to the future. And you and I are the future. Look at verse 15 of Isaiah 43. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They'll lie down together and not rise again. They've been quenched, extinguished like a wick. Now do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. God, when are you going to do something new? Look at the next phrase, the next sentence. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I'm going to even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, a way in your wilderness, a way in your desert. This is the fresh newness of God, that no matter where I am in this life, physically or emotionally, God makes a way. It's a new way. It makes the desert, it makes the wilderness, hear what I say, wonderful. Why? Because he's wonderful. It allows me to enjoy him in the midst of the desert and in the midst of the wilderness. You know, you can look at the desert and think, man, dry, barren wasteland. And you know, there's something in my heart, in my mind, that's enchanting about the desert. It just is. Or the wilderness. As you look at who God is today, you know that he has brought you through the desert and brought you through the wilderness, and that, well, he revealed himself to you. He showed you that he was present. He showed you that he cared for you, that he loved you. He showed you that you could get through this time by not cursing the time, but blessing the time, and not cursing the man or cursing the woman, but blessing the man and blessing the woman, no matter what that was. God makes a way. He does something new. And I guess the thing that I would say to you is, if you're in the wilderness, don't miss it. If you're in the desert, don't miss it. God has something for you in the desert. He has something for you in the wilderness. And it can be enchanting. It can be powerful. Why? Because he's the new God and you're the new man and the new woman. That's why. That's why. So that I face the obstacles that I thought were destructive. And all of a sudden I realized that God is making something new. Do you remember the story of Joseph when he goes into slavery? What happens? Joseph has favor all over his life, but he doesn't have favor with his brothers. His brothers hate him. And his brothers sell him into slavery. And he ends up in slavery. The wilderness. But God's with him in the wilderness. God's with him in the desert. And whatever he does, the Bible says, God's with him. And what he does is God prospers his hand. And then he gets accused of a crime and is thrown into jail. Another desert, another wilderness, another disappointment. No, another opportunity. Another opportunity to see a roadway in the desert, to see a roadway in the desert, a pathway in the wilderness. What was the pathway? The pathway was to the throne, the throne room of God, so that when his brothers came and he revealed himself to him, he says, hey, don't be mad at yourself because you didn't send me here. God sent me here. God sent me here to save your life. What the enemy meant for evil, God has made good. Now that's new. That's fresh. That's God making something new of something that's archaic and something that's old. That's God saying, behold, it happens now. It happens right now. Why? Because in a mystical sense, it's already happened. It's already done. Because you're in Christ Jesus. The old is past. Let me ask you, what are the things of the old that you're holding on to, that you're still defined by, that you're still grumbling about, that you're still just can't get past? It may be good things that no longer, it's good anymore. And so you grumble, I want to get back to the good things, or it's just the bad things and they've defined me. No, listen. If you're in Christ, you're new and you're new today. Let me ask you this question. How do we find that and how do we do that? We have something called the Holy Spirit of the living God, and he's living in you to instruct you. You have a teacher. You have a teacher. He's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who teaches you how to abide in Jesus in the midst of the desert. Oh, I can open the scriptures and show you where to go, but it's you that has to learn from the Spirit of God. You have the free will to say yes or no. In your attitude, in your spirit, in your heart, in your doing, in your going, you have it. God gives you that ability. He gives you that free choice. You know, I think there's something very simple about this, and it's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Everything that I'm looking at in these days is about renewal, being renewed. The Bible says that we get transformed by renewing our mind. That means the way I think. And there's some things that God's just showing me in these days that it's really been a blessing. And maybe that'll be for another time. But I want you to notice in verse 7 what he says. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's the treasure? It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. In this earthen vessel, we have a treasure. The ability, the power, the strength that God gives us to live life abundantly. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not despairing. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. And we're always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for the sake of Christ, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. It's where I die to self, selfishness, my way. I die to my way or the highway. And I live to God's way. I live to who he is. And I might be walking through affliction and perplexed and a persecution, struck down. But he's saying, listen, in all these things, we are not despairing. We are not crushed. We are not destroyed. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is what? It's being renewed. Why? Because all things are becoming new. It's your soul. It's your inner man that the Bible says is new in Christ, and it's becoming new in him. It's being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. How many of you had a hard year? You know what? Bible says, not me, this is not me, it's the scripture. And this passage of scripture says that this affliction is momentary and it is light. It's momentary and it's light. And what it's doing, it's producing in you an eternal weight of glory far beyond anything that we could ever imagine or hope. The very negative stuff coming my way, God is using to glorify himself in us. And you know what? That ought to just make us open our hands and say, God, we receive it all. Just like Job said to his wife, we'll accept the good and we'll accept the bad because we know who our God is and we know who we are. It's such a great perspective to look at it so that these things that go through our mind and these thoughts that go through us, they're not destroying us. You know, if somebody says something about me or to me, they didn't make me feel the way I'm feeling. I chose to feel that way. Nobody can make you do anything. It's something that you choose to do by the power of God when you're being renewed. And what this great passage of scripture says is that this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison while we look not at the things which you're seeing or the things that have been said or the things that we can look at. No. No. We look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You want to talk about new life today? You look to God. You look at him, not the circumstance. You look at who he is in your life, what he's doing in your life, what he's promised to do in your life. Whatever is thrown your way this week, that's my challenge to you. I'm a new man, I'm a new woman in Christ, and these old things are passed away, and therefore I will not be defined by them in my behavior or in my thinking and in my life today, but I'm going to be defined by what God says right there, right here, this moment. And you know what happens? Something new happens. That's what happens. It's fresh, and it's alive. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. When you go back to chapter 5 across the page, at least it's across the page in my Bible, and you might have to turn back to it, in verse 18, he says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He says, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and he has committed to us a word of reconciliation. You are a new creation. You are a reconciler. When I think about this whole thought of reconciliation, we talked a little bit last week about this is this gift of salvation. It's the gift of God. It comes from him. He did it. He reconciled it. He comes with this new life, with this ability, power, strength, grace, life, and he gives us the same kind of ministry. The word reconciliation means to change or to exchange. It means to transform or restore. It means to exchange the old for the new. It means that making two things one. It's the idea of being at peace with our great God through Jesus Christ, having this peace with God. It's the same idea of peacemaking. And if you're a new man or new woman, a new boy, a new girl, a new student in Christ, you have a ministry of reconciliation because God gave you that. It's a gift. Do you understand? Do I understand, really? That's what I need to ask. Do I really understand what that means? Keep your place here and go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Notice who gets reconciled here. Colossians chapter 1. Let's begin with 13. We'll skip around here. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He rescued us from the darkness, the domain of darkness, and transferred us to this kingdom of his beloved Son. When you were born again, God rescued you from darkness. God rescued you from the domain of darkness. That's no longer where you and I live. It's not. And that's good news, is it not? It's good news to know that I'm no longer in the darkness. But matter of fact, not only did he transfer us, but he said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine so that men may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Not only did he rescue us out of it, but he made us light. It's part of our newness. It's part of the gift of reconciliation. Look at verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile, there's our word, all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although, watch, you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Notice what he did to us when he reconciled us. We were alienated from him, hostile, engaged in evil deeds. That's where we were, folks. Some of you might be in here today, and you're not in Christ, and you're still hostile to God. You're still engaged in junk, alienated from the life of God. All this thought of reconciliation is God desires through Christ to take his hand and to take and Jesus to take your hand and to make you one with God so you're no longer alienated. And if you're here today and you've never received Christ and you've never been reconciled, today is that day for you, perhaps. But if you're in Christ, you have this ability, you have this power, you have this strength, you have this adequacy to be a part of the reconciliation word and work of God. You have it today. You have it. Hey, it doesn't mean that you're going to go tomorrow and put a track under somebody's nose. It means that tomorrow you're going to be light. Today you're going to be light. You're going to live it. They're going to see it. Why? Because you're no longer alienated. You're no longer in the darkness. You're no longer engaged in evil deeds. They see the change. They see something different. They see the life of God. They don't see a man or a woman complaining. They don't see a man or woman grumbling while everybody else in the office is. They don't see someone participating in the jokes of the office. They don't see anybody anymore just fretting about everything. Why? Because you're out of the darkness and you're light today. You're a reconciler. You're a part of it. Our church is a part of it. God has given us and committed us the word of reconciliation. Now, I know we're going backwards in 2 Corinthians, but go back to 2 Corinthians 3, okay? Chapter 3. Another little thought here about how we're adequate. Verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. What? What confidence? Well, he's talking about the Corinthian church. Listen, we've come to you and we've worked amongst you and we've lived amongst you. And now you are our letter. You are the result of what we've come to be about. And he says, verse 4, such confidence we have through Christ Jesus, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything of coming from us, but our adequacy is from God. Verse 6, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I look at that and I say, what do you mean? This ministry of reconciliation means you're a servant of the Spirit of God that gives life. And guess what? You're adequate today because God's made you adequate. There are some of us in here who think there's no way I could share faith. There's no way that I could share the gospel. Oh, yes, you can. Just trust in your God and open your mouth. Can you open your mouth and talk? Yeah, we can. Start talking about him. Talking about what God's doing in those subtle ways. And then when you get the direct way, it comes in and you get to share faith and you get to share life. Or you just get to plant the seed and somebody else gets to open their mouth. But God's made you adequate for the day as a servant of the Spirit of God. Not a servant of the letter. That's the old covenant. Because the Bible says the old covenant kills. It's the new covenant. The Spirit of God that gives life. Hey, church, are you giving life today?
You're in Christ. You're a reconciler. And God's made you adequate. You don't need 3 years of seminary, 4 years of Bible college. What do you know what you need? You need today. And to say, God, here I am. Use me. Here I am. Send me. And you know what we'll do? Just like we talked earlier, the Holy Spirit is a great teacher. And he'll teach you what to say and how to say it. Now, you might have to, I'm not saying don't get in your word. You got to get in your word.